Hi, I'm Paul Listick, and welcome to Behind the Curtain.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's Behind the Curtain. I'm Paul Listick from WGN-TV, host of WGN-TV Political Report. But I have great fun every week as I get to do this podcast interview, usually maybe sometimes outside the world of politics, although today's interview is a hybrid, actually. It's the world of politics and entertainment and sports and all sorts of worlds. You'll understand as you say hi to my guest, Phil Sklar, who is the co-founder and CEO of the, are you ready, National Bobblehead Hall of Fame and Museum. I got such a kick out of this that I reached out to Phil and said, you got to talk to me. He said, okay. Hey, Phil, thanks for joining me here on WGN Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me, Paul.
So I suppose I have to start where everybody should start. Why did you wake up one day and said, we need a National Bobblehead Museum?
Yes, it was actually several years, maybe decades of culminating into the idea for a Hall of Fame museum dedicated to bobbleheads. It actually probably started in late 1983 in Rockford, Illinois, where I was born. And my dad collected baseball cards as a kid growing up in Rockford and got me into collecting them when I grew up. And then fast forward to about 2003, the other co-founder of the museum, a good friend of mine since middle school time, was working for the minor league Rockford Riverhawks baseball team, and they gave away a bobblehead for the first time. And we were going to college in Milwaukee at the time and said, hey, you know, we're going to go to some Bucks and Brewers games. We might as well pick the bobblehead games and grow the collection. And that sort of exploded, and the collection grew from one bobblehead to hundreds and then thousands. And 2013, we produced a bobblehead for the first time. A friend of ours to raise money for Special Olympics and had a good experience with that. And we, at the same time, realized there was no museum dedicated to bobbleheads and had this collection growing out of control and said, hey, you know, let's look into see if this is something viable.
Were you shocked when you found out there was no national museum dedicated to bobbleheads? I maybe you were. I don't know.
You know, no. I wasn't shocked. We had traveled across the country to go to the different baseball stadiums. And during those trips, we, you know, stopped at different historic sites and museums and saw, you know, there's a mustard museum and a spam museum and all these off the wall museums dedicated to fun things. And, you know, bobbleheads have been this sort of pop culture icon that have grown in popularity. And we said, why not a bobblehead museum?
Yeah, so you just recently had your second anniversary, right? Because you opened on February 1st, 2019. You're in Milwaukee, 170 South 1st Street in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Means I got to get up there and check this out. But, you know, part of your first answer kind of addressed my next question, which is, I felt like this grows out of the world of baseball cards and those sort of things. And you seem to indicate that that is what led to it.
Yeah, it definitely did for us and for a lot of people. You know, there's a culture of collecting in the United States, it's sort of unrivaled, and we have that passion for sort of knickknacks and fun little things that celebrate what we enjoy. And you know, bobbleheads tie into so many different things, like you mentioned early on. There's just bobbleheads for everything. And if you're a political fan or a fan of, you know, sports or a certain team or player, you can represent that with bobbleheads. And, you know, every year there's new bobbleheads, whether it's ones given away by a team or, you know, ones that are put out for retail purchase that people can add to that collection. And sometimes we see people's collections sort of growing to other areas. You know, they say, oh, well, start out with the Cubs and then now I'll add Star Wars. And then, you know, my favorite TV show is The Office. And so they'll continue to add bobbleheads that they enjoy. And then there's other people who might just have one or a couple bobbleheads on their desk, and people will give them a new one if they see something that might be of interest for them.
Yeah, and I guess anybody can make, you know, it's funny, you may not know this name, George Pradel was the mayor of Naperville forever and a day. He used to be officer friendly, longtime mayor. He actually passed away a couple of years ago. He had bobbleheads made of himself, and he gave me one and signed it, and it sits on my desk at WGN because it was, well, he was sort of a, you know, for the world of Naperville, kind of a historic figure for them. But I thought how cool it was to do that as a Christmas gift years ago. Somebody made a bobblehead of me and gave it to me. So I know you're also a museum, but if somebody wants to call and just have a bobblehead made or just a few, do you guys do that as well?
Yeah, we do that as well. So that's really what spurred us to open the museum. You know, we realized that a museum dedicated to bobbleheads might not we didn't know how that would do financially. We didn't know if it would, you know, keep the lights on and pay the rent and be able to pay me and the other co-founders and other employees' salaries. But so we thought, hey, you know, we saw a need in the market for place to produce bobbleheads. There's already some other producers out there, but they were all focused on, you know, the stadium giveaways that the Cubs and White Sox and all the teams are doing. So we thought, hey, you know, let's produce and market unique bobbleheads. We can also do custom bobbleheads, you know, if somebody wants just one for a friend. And so that's really how the idea kickstarted.
So what intrigued me, look, I'm not a big sports guy. I readily admit that. And but I am a big politics guy. That's what I do over at WGN. And so what intrigued me was a couple of years ago, in fact, I bought a few of your bobbleheads because you just started doing things that were ringing close to home for me. There was Governor Pritzker. There was Governor Cuomo of New York, who made a name during COVID for himself. Well, aside from other things, Mayor Lightfoot. So part of the magic has to be your ability to tap into who's hot and when, right? And so is that, have you ever, well, first of all, is certainly have you ever missed on that, sort of saying, oops, we thought this would be big and nobody cared?
Yes, we haven't gotten it right 100% of the time. I can definitely say that. And, you know, some of the mayors that we've done have been, or governors and mayors have been more popular than others. But the nice thing is we can sort of put it out there and see how people react. And if they don't buy a lot, we'll just produce fewer and, you know, and go on to the next one. But yeah, we've had some wild successes like Dr. Fauci and some of the mayors that you or governors that you mentioned. And we've had some, you know, one of the governors, I think we've only sold 10 of. And so, you know, we'll make only 100 and hopefully sell the rest over time. But Dr. Fauci became our best selling bobblehead of all time. And, you know, all those went to a good cause with to date over $300,000 donated to Protect the Heroes Fund to get PPE to first responders.
So this isn't just about making money. This is about helping causes. And that obviously is important what you do anyway. Look, I'd be remiss. You know that everybody who's listening wants to know, who was it that only sold 10 bobbleheads?
So it was Governor Sununu, which we have some people request governors. And so it's obviously a small state. And, you know, it didn't get a lot of publicity, but maybe now that they're coming in a few weeks, they'll take off and maybe we'll have to produce thousands more.
Exactly. Well, actually, that might be a 10 probably covers this whole state. So you probably got all that covered.
That's true.
So what one of the, and I have not seen this one, but if I understand it right, is it true you did one of Vice President Mike Pence right after the debate, which has to mean you issued it with a fly in his head?
Yes. So that is correct. Actually, those just came in a few weeks ago. It was the, you know, that night hearing and seeing on social media, the buzz, for lack of better words, of the fly moment. And woke up the next morning and got our graphic designer on the design, and we released it by that afternoon. And yeah, that one has done really well. Definitely those moments, you know, and we'll probably go back and capture some moments that were from the past that, you know, at the time bobbleheads weren't being done, that people still, you know, see as iconic moments. But those are really fun ones to capture in bobblehead form, especially if you can do it, you know, that quickly after.
Ed, and I also know one of the recent ones you've done, Champ and Major. Those are the Bidens. These are the first rescue dogs. At least one of them's rescue in the White House. So, yeah, again, it's not just people, it's animals, but always having to tap into something. I mean, I'm assuming maybe you didn't do Sox the cat or, you know, or some of the Obama's dog Bo. Maybe you did. Maybe you did Obama's dog Bo and Sonny. Trump never had a pet. But what triggers the desire to do the pets? Because everybody loves animals.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that. We've done some animals over the past few years, and people really always seem to enjoy them. We've done some college mascot dogs that are the Butler live mascot, and those have done really well. So we thought, hey, let's, especially being one of them being the first rescue dogs in the White House. And yeah, they've been popular. Actually, we were looking back at some of the other cats and dogs and animals to do for the White House since we weren't around when Bo was at the White House. And so, yeah, there's definitely some fun ones we could go back and do. There's actually a cow from Wisconsin that was a presidential pet.
That's right.
I think 100 or so years ago. So we'll definitely keep those on the radar and maybe find a fun time to do those.
Yeah, I did a trivia night once for the Anti-Cruelty Society where we went through presidential pets, almost anything you, and that may have been Roosevelt, but it was, Theodore Roosevelt, but an amazing number of animals have lived at the White House or on the grounds of it. I imagine you lost your shirt when you put out the bobblehead of my buddy Pat Tomasulo, because I may have been the only person to actually want to buy one of those, which I did to support my dear Pat, but no, I'm actually kidding. I'm assuming that was probably a pretty good one, right? Everybody loves Pat, man of the people.
It was. Yeah, we collaborated. Pat on the bobblehead, and the portion of the proceeds go into the Laugh Your Face Off Foundation that he supports. Yeah. And so, yeah, it was actually really popular, much more popular than Governor Sununu. I think we're actually close to selling out, I think, of Pat. So if you haven't got it yet, definitely check out our website and pick one up. But yes, yeah. It's always fun to do some of those bobbleheads, especially if it's somebody's first bobblehead.
Well, I bought one and I had Pat sign it, so it's certainly a collector's item and treasure now. Do you need permission? I mean, I understand when it's a public figure, yeah, like a Dr. Fauci or a president, that's fair game. But are there any, even like a Pat Tomasulo, could you have just done Pat? Is he public? Or if you did me, could I stop you from doing it? Or public figures are fair game?
Yeah, so public figures like a president or vice president or Dr. Fauci or governor are fair game. The First Amendment and the right to do those sort of things. But for a private citizen like Pat or a baseball player or any of those type of things, you generally do need to get that person's permission. And some people obviously will not provide that permission, or in some cases, they'll expect an extremely high royalty or advance to use their likeness, especially when it comes to like musicians, which is why you don't see bobbleheads sometimes of, some really big name people that you'd think, oh, that person has to have a bobblehead, but they don't. So a lot of those are on our list of bobbleheads that we want to make, and that list grows pretty much every day.
Wow. So I'm imagining for some of the, and you do so much in the sports world, I know, do you need league permission or just player permission?
Yeah, so for those, you do need more of the league handles all the approvals for the main leagues like NFL and NBA and NHL and MLB. We work with a company that has the licenses for all those, so they handle sort of all those details, and we just have fun with coming up with the ideas and marketing them and promoting and selling them.
I was also just looking at a list of some of the ones you do. I mean, you not only did Fauci, which I totally get, he's become this national icon for sure, but you also did Dr. Deborah Birx and even a couple of interpreters. Am I right? Talk about that.
Yeah. So, in late March, early April of last year, when the pandemic really, took off and, it was all everybody was watching on the news, we were getting requests, especially after doing the Dr. Fauci bobblehead, for different governors. And so Governor DeWine in Ohio was one of the best-selling governors, and after his bobblehead came out, people were like, oh, you have to do our health director, Dr. Amy Acton. So we looked into it, and sure enough, she was getting this big following, and so we did her bobblehead, and then people said, oh, you have to do the interpreter, everybody loves Marla. And so we put her out, and she's oversold most of the governors for the other states. So, yes, we did another interpreter Virginia Moore from Kentucky. And, yeah, both Virginia and Marla have done well, and both of them actually have their hands bobble as well doing the sign language. So definitely not something we expected going into 2020, but we sort of realized that people can fall in love with some – characters or individuals that you may never have heard of before and sort of steal the spotlight.
Yeah, Sununu's looking worse and worse with everyone. When you have to tell him, hey, you were outsold by an interpreter, which God bless the interpreters, it's not about that, but poor Sununu. So if we come to the museum, mostly sports, how's the museum? I've not yet been there. How is it divided? Do we walk into a political section? How does that happen?
Yeah, so it is divided by sections. Sports take up about 70% of the collection, which is about on par with the general makeup of bobbleheads. So you see baseball, basketball, football, and hockey, with baseball being the largest section just because there are more baseball bobbleheads than anything else. We have a big regional section, which leads into the local section. So regional has all the Chicago, Minnesota, and other area teams. The local section has all the Wisconsin teams from the major, Bucks, Brewers, to your college and minor leagues. And then you have political and movies, TV, music, comics, religion, really anything and everything that you can think of, sort of organized by section. There's also exhibits about the history and how they're made and the story behind them, and a lot to learn just about bobbleheads themselves. I also have a huge display of some of the oldest bobbleheads and the history timeline. A lot of people enjoy seeing sort of the progression of how bobbleheads started to where they are today. And right now with the pandemic, people can go online to our website and see a virtual tour and walk around 360 degrees. So we put that up there right at the beginning of the pandemic so people could visit safely from the comfort of their home.
And the website is bobbleheadhall.com, easy enough to find, bobbleheadhall.com. So how far do these go back? Were they making them of Ben Franklin and George Washington back then and just going, hey, you know, get your founder's collection of bobbleheads over here?
So that actually came about a little later, but the late 1700s is when the first bobbleheads were out there. It was more of a decorative figurine, not of a specific person. Some of those sell for in the $35,000 range these days. So definitely something that has collectible value. The first sports bobbleheads of actual players and teams were in 1960. So those were all four major sports actually had bobbleheads at that time. And then 1964 were the first player-specific bobbleheads of Willie Mays and Mickey Mantle, Roger Maris, and Roberto Clemente. All very valuable today still. And then also right around that same time, the Beatles set, which was the first sort of pop culture set featuring actual people. And those were wildly popular as well.
So does that mean the Beatles were open to it, or their management or Brian Epstein or whatever they were? Because you just talked about how difficult it is to get some of the celebrities, but Beatles were easy, to your knowledge?
So I'm guessing they weren't easy at the time for whoever, you know, for the company that had those produced, but it was something that they sold a ton of them, and they were something that they would have gotten their permission. They were officially licensed a set of the bobbleheads, and so, yeah, it was something that, would be interesting to sort of go back in time and see how they got that set approved and work through that. For sure.
So when we see the bobbleheads in the museum, are there sort of baseball fields and we see them set up, or are they just sort of lined up along the shelves and we walk through and see the collection?
They are on shelves. They're definitely, we have a museum person help set up the collection and curate things with us. And so, yes, we didn't just throw them up there and let them sit. We did put a lot of thought into how they're set up. And so, yeah, you can see that either at the museum or in the virtual tour.
If we come to the museum, is there a fee for getting in?
Yeah, so it's a $5 flat rate fee per person. And we're open 7 days a week prior to the pandemic, and we're hoping to reopen soon under some new guidelines that were just recently developed from the city of Milwaukee to reopen the museums, most of which have been closed for quite some time now.
Yeah, I know your Governor Evers has been very careful about things, but the legislature is very different from him. We won't get into the politics of all that. But also, the artists, are you and your partner, are you guys the artists? Or do you have a team of artists? And what happens when you look and say, hey, we need to, you know, let's do one of Bernie Sanders. How does it happen?
Yeah, so we have a couple graphic designers that we work with. We definitely aren't the artists, but we do visualize things very well now, especially now after several years of experience, but we'll basically tell the designer what we think we want the bobblehead to look like. And a lot of times they'll come back and it'll look better than what we visualize. So that's always a good thing. And then from there, the factory hand sculpts it out of clay. And we often go through several rounds of changes, like Bernie Sanders, you mentioned with his inauguration bobblehead that we released on the day of the inauguration. Woke up that morning expecting to release, you know, Dr. Joe Biden and Joe Biden and the dog bobbleheads. But Bernie stole the show. So we went with that one and released the other one sort of subsequent to that. But yeah, we are still we're working through some final mold changes to make sure the bobblehead looks perfect. And, you know, that's our goal, to give customers that iconic bobblehead that they'll enjoy and have on their desk or on their mantle for years to come.
Yeah, and sometimes in the case of Bernie, for example, there's more than one, right? Because you had Bernie when he was a presidential candidate, very popular, but then the mitten day happened, and then all heck broke loose, and you had to do another one.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah, the Bernie with the mittens in his chair is one that, you know, still I see on frequent basis, people posting a meme with a new event. But, yeah, that one was the one we released on Inauguration Day and become our second best-selling bobblehead of all time, trailing only Dr. Fauci and surpassing Sister Jean by a little bit.
Ah, that's right. Hey, the cost of these, I mean, again, the ones I bought, they're about $25 or so.
Yeah, so most of the ones that we produce are in that $20 to $30 range. Generally, $25 is the sweet spot that we find where people will enjoy picking up the bobblehead and not feel guilty about purchasing it. And then some of the officially licensed ones are usually in the $30 to $45 range.
Well, if you decide to do a bobblehead on me, I will give you my permission. And, you know, it could be one of your big – I bet you at least I beat Sununu.
Yeah, I'd put money on that.
I think, I think my brother would beat Sununu. So anyway, this is what great fun. As I said, I bought several. I think they're just really clever. And of course, every day you wake up, you never know what's going to happen next and what's going to be fun. I do have to ask you just for the political world briefly. Do you ever get flack? Like, you know, you do somebody, and because we're such a divided country, do you get like negative feedback from people because you have done somebody or haven't done somebody or something like that?
Yeah, you know what, for the quantity that we've done and the press that we were getting, especially during the Dr. Fauci bobbleheads, we were surprised by the, you know, very little to no flack that we were getting. We did get a couple one person who said, you know, why haven't you done this governor? And it was because we hadn't gotten requests for those governors. So then we did those governors, you know, once we got more requests for them. So we do listen to people and see what people are wanting. And if people request, you know, Governor Sununu, you know, if we get 20 requests, we'll probably do it.
You know, we might just boost, yeah. You might just from this podcast, we may have boosted Sununu sales because now there's a lot of people just want to, well, I got to see this one, this poor guy, let's get some.
Yeah, especially because it's going to be a rare one because there's only going to be, you know, there's only 100 made. And if sales don't pick up, that'll be all that'll ever be out there. So
yeah, I may wait for eBay on that one. Listen, I encourage everybody, go out and visit the National Bobblehead Hall of Fame and Museum. They'll be opening again to the public real soon, 170 South 1st Street in Milwaukee. And but until then, or at least to find out the update on when you can get in there, visit bobbleheadhall.com. And in the meantime, listen, I think they make great gifts, you know, birthday gifts and holiday gifts. As I said, somebody for Christmas once had, you know, gave me a bobblehead, and they had two dogs made and put them on the side and me holding a microphone. I mean, you can really do some very creative things. I think it's a really an amazing and creative gift to give somebody. And so you're kind of the one-stop shop for that because you not only have all the famous ones, but people can do the custom order with you too. That's great, Phil.
Yeah, we want to be the one-stop shop for anything bobblehead, whether you want to look up the history or purchase one or just check out the museum. So it's what our goal is, and it's always fun to hear from people. So, yeah, it's been a fun ride, and we look forward to continuing that.
Well, I look forward to it. I'll come out and visit you. Again, it's bobbleheadhall.com, the co-founder and CEO, Phil Sklar. What's your other co-founder's name so we give him credit?
Yeah, Brad Novak, and we're both from Rockford, Illinois, so we're here in Milwaukee. We love it here, and it's a great city. It's a lot of fun. I think a lot of people who haven't been here in a while or who are familiar with it, you know, there's so much to do, and it's a nice, smaller big city, and museums are sort of in the heart of everything.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I love staying at the Pfister Hotel when I go to downtown Milwaukee. And years ago, I remember I was staying there and I asked for an upgrade to the presidential suite because I figured the president wasn't staying there. Why can't I have it? And they said, well, I'm sorry, but there's a celebrity staying in that suite. I said, who? And they said, well, turn around. She's coming in now. It turned out it was Lassie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I lost the upgrade to Lassie, but I'm good with that. I'm all about dogs, so that works for me.
Yeah.
Phil Sklar, checking out once again the National Bobblehead Hall of Fame and museum, bobbleheadhall.com. Only a few Pat Tomasulos left, so pick up one of those. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time and for sharing the information. It's a lot of fun. Have to tell me, check you out.
Great talking to you too, Paul. Appreciate it.
All right. Be well. Well, if you want to know more about what we've talked about here, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Paul Lisnek. That's PaulLisnek. And I'd love to hear your comments or topic suggestions for future podcasts. You can also go to my website,
paullisnick.tv. And hey, don't forget to hit subscribe on WGN Plus and iTunes and tune in each week to hear more insider scoop coming to you from behind the curtain.